Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting, all the way from sunny Fort Lauderdale, Cecile Gowett. Hi Cecile.
Hello Stuart, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. It's getting cold here. We've turned the heating on at home, so I'm quite looking forward to seeing some Fort Lauderdale sun next week because it rolls around again, doesn't it? The Fort Lauderdale Boat Show.
That's right. Another boat show. We are so looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be good. So what's the weather like? What's it going to be like?
Oh, next week, I'm not sure. Right now, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's cooler, sunny, crisp, dry, ideal weather. If we could have this next week, it would be wonderful. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed indeed. Yeah, not too hot, not too sweaty.
No, perfect.
Yeah, perfect. But we'll be there in force as Boat International. So many of you will know we have quite a large stand there on the face dock. So swing by if you're a bit steamy, fancy some cooling off in our very, very good air conditioning system, and grab a coffee or something cooler and come and say hi. It'd be great to see you.
Yeah, please do come by.
But Cecile, so you posted some very artistic pictures on Instagram the other day.
Yeah, that's right. I was on a cruise ship, which is not my cup of tea, but husband was invited as media and, you know, took a plus one. It was over the weekend. I said, hey, you know, I might as well learn something new. So there I went. I did almost drop the phone in the ocean taking that picture, but it was worth it.
It was a very, very good photo. Yeah. Was it to witness the solar eclipse? Was that the point of it?
No, it wasn't actually. It's just the debut of this new cruise ship from Oceania, which was built at Fincantieri. Our listeners will be familiar with the name because although they have built few, they have actually built super yachts and have had some really interesting concepts over the years. But obviously they're very, very big in the cruise ship industry. And so they built this Oceania Vista, which is 785 feet long. So kind of big, but it is actually on the smaller side of cruise ships.
Yeah, that is. I mean, they're getting so big now.
Yeah. So it's about 6,700 gross tons. And yeah, and instead of 12 passengers, it's up to 1,200. So just a few more. yeah, it's pretty cool. There's like 140 chefs among the crew of 800.
That'll do.
That will do, yeah. So the food is pretty good, I must say, yeah. Anyway,
but you had a nice time, crucially.
I did. And it's really fun to discover a ship, no matter what it is. I love ships. You know, I love boats. I love everything that floats. So we got to go into the galley, the stores of the ship and stuff that people would not see normally. And it was great fun.
That should be your motto. Cecile Gowett loves everything that floats.
That's right.
You love it so much, actually. You are, as well as the wonderful editor of our US edition, you are the co-chair of the Boat International Design and Innovation Awards. It's a bit of a mouthful. I always have trouble saying that.
It is. Stumbling. It is a mouthful, yes. But, however, it's a very good award program. And I need to apologize to everybody I missed in Monaco in case they wonder where the heck I was, because it was boats. But we do try to see as many of the people who are nominees as possible during the boat show. So obviously between Cannes and Monaco, I did get to see quite a few, which was great. And in the end, we did very well. We just closed the nominations period. We have 135 entries from about 53 different boats. And we have quite a few in the lifestyle feature category, which is one that where we look at one particular space on the boat. And people are getting very creative, designers, builders on some of the specific spaces that you can enjoy on the boat. There was quite a few interesting ones this year to look at. So anyway, it will be an interesting new edition. And then if you're wondering, the winners will be revealed in an exciting new format on the first day of the Super Yacht Design Festival, which I'm very excited to say, returns to Kitzbühel in Austria this year. I love Kitzbühel.
Next year.
That's right. But I mean, the time is flying so fast. I don't even know when we are. We are working.
It does feel like this, yeah.
We are working on January, February, March issues. So I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry about that. Yeah, next year.
That's right, yeah, Kitzbühel. Everyone's very excited about it. It slightly feels like it's spiritual home, doesn't it? Kitzbühel. So that's happening between the 28th and the 30th as part of our Super Design Festival. It all kicks off with the BDA, at which, this, as Cecile says, the winners of these amazing awards will be announced. And it's great fun, the Design Festival. We go skiing, we drink too much Glühwein.
Way too much Glühwein. No.
But it's fun getting the community, the super yacht community, away from the water and up a mountain. I think it relaxes everybody.
I think that's very true. I mean, it's definitely, of all the events during the year, it's definitely one of my favorites. It's a perfect mix of really interesting conversations, really nice networking, and yeah, lots of fun as well. So.
And actually, and talking about fantastic spaces on yachts, the cover boat for the November issue of BRUS is obviously the wonderful Rossi Navi Alchemy, which has one of the most unusual interfaces, I suppose. Well, there's no lobby. There's no
Right.
traditional lobby as you'd associate, as you'd expect on a boat that size. There's no kind of central stairway core that's kind of walled and separates maybe, you know, a master cabin or forward guest spaces with a saloon aft. It's all big, one big open space and very unusual.
It's a very, very beautiful boat. I had a chance of stepping on board at Monaco and had a really good tour. And yeah, that feature is extraordinary. The owner, I guess, wanted this really vast open space so you could see all the way through to the forward area of the boat, which on a boat this size is a challenge. And I think this central staircase that he wanted was a bit of a challenge for for the builder and the classification societies, but they worked it out. And of course, being American of French descent, I cannot not mention the wine cellar in the very permanent space in this magnificent open saloon. Yes, that is exceptional. And the galley is amazing.
Yeah, the galley is amazing because I love that about American owners. They want the galley to be not just a functional area of the ship. They generally want it to be almost a guest area as well, don't they? And you see that in lots of American designs.
This one is a little bit more on the industrial look side, but it's absolutely a professional galley, very functional, beautiful, has some lights into light into it, so you're not in a closed space. Yeah, it's a beautiful boat. My only regret is that unfortunately it will not make the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show. I suppose I'd like to take the boat somewhere fun and cruise with it. I don't know, but yes, please pick up a copy of the magnificent issue of Boat International US edition. I'm not biased, but I think it's absolutely gorgeous. The beautiful alchemy on the cover, and there's plenty of really interesting stuff in it. We take a look at the redevelopment of Fort Lauderdale, which is absolutely staggering what's going on there. When you come back, Stuart, next week, I'm sure you'll be floored about with the changes that have happened just in a matter of year, just around that area of Port Everglades and the 17th Street Causeway between Pier 66 and the Convention Center, the Hilton Marina, then further down the beach, BMR just got a approval after years and years of wrangling with the city on redeveloping that. So there's lots to go on going on.
Yeah, so
And
it's that Pier 66 development's wild. And I was, when was I last there? I think I was there in March, and it had come on leaps and bounds when I was there in March. So it'd be quite interesting to see kind of 6 months later, or even a bit more than 6 months later, how much more, how much further they've got along. But I'm looking forward to seeing the completed thing because it can completely redefine that area of Fort Lauderdale waterfront, which was looking a bit sorry for itself in recent years, but now it's going to be just spectacular.
yeah, it was really one of the flagship properties for Fort Lauderdale for years. Everybody remembers that revolving bar at the top, which was really, really wonderful. And they are bringing that back. So I'm very excited. That's a fun thing to do. So yeah, pick up that issue. There is also in there a profile of Tommy Hilfiger by Lucy Dunn, which is very nice. He talks about his love for his boat, which he may be sailing. At least the boat is sailing. It's listed for sale. And I think you did talk about that, but we also have a profile of Tony Parker, and I'm a huge fan of Tony Parker.
Well, he's French, isn't he? Or born
Yeah,
French.
French and American. Yeah, something we have in common. Not the basketball part. I'm incapable of landing a basket, but he was quite good at it. He was part of four NBA championship with the Spurs. Oh yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, my basketball knowledge extends to watching that Michael Jordan documentary on Netflix. I mean,
isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing. So, but beyond that, my knowledge is very, very limited. So I glossed over that bit last week on the podcast, lest I expose my ignorance. So let's talk about the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show, shall we? And there's quite a few new US debuts coming next week. So let's whip through a few of them. You've selected a couple. So what have you got up for us first? What can people at the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show expect to see or get excited about?
Well,
next week,
if they have gone to European shows, maybe they have seen them, but a lot of people don't go to the European shows. And Benetti has two of their new models there. The Oasis 34 meter with that spectacular Oasis deck. Listener may remember that there is a little bit of a bigger Oasis, the 40 meter. Actually, of the two, I'm biased to the 34 meter. I think it's really, really lovely, really nicely done. And that platform and that beach club aft is just amazing. And then there's also from Benetti, there's a Beyond 37, which will be seen for the first time here in the US. You had a little bit of an interest in that one, didn't you? Didn't you write the feature on it?
I did, yeah. One of the rare features that I wrote that one because I had a special experience on that boat, actually, because obviously Paolo Vitelli, the first one was built for him. Obviously Paolo Vitelli, the founder of Azimut and latterly bought Benetti to create the behemoth Azimut Benetti group. And he toured me around the very first hull of the Beyond 37 meter. And it was quite touching because, he really poured a lot of experience and knowledge into that boat. And he was incredibly proud of the finished article. And I think that series is going to be an interesting one to watch because it can definitely stretch and get bigger.
Yeah. I like the design concept on it a lot. Yeah. A little bit like Alchemy, we were talking about that deck where you can see all the way through. I guess that's one of the things they were trying to accomplish on this, and they did it very well on the Beyond. You have this really panoramic view from your main deck, which is actually a little bit higher than you would expect the main deck to be. Pretty cool boat.
Yeah, it is a cool boat. Yeah, some very unusual design solutions in that boat. So if you get the opportunity at the show, please go and have a look. You'll be blown away by the space on board.
Well, I know you're a fan of cats, so, you know, I'm just pandering to my boss here, but I wanted to highlight there was a few catamarans. Vision F, which is a Turkish builder that I had the pleasure to go visit in May, is supposed to have a cat there. And then also from Sunreef, there will be a 80 Power Eco at the boat show. And from Prestige, there is a smaller one, the M8, but obviously being a cat, even if it's a smaller size than the boats that we usually talk about, I'm sure it's a substantial boat as well. So those should be interesting. And
yeah, three really cool cats there.
Yeah.
On the monohull side, there's some great new product. The Azimut Grande 36 meter, the little sister of the larger 38 meter model, which many people will have seen. Big open plan layout, lots of glass, very efficient hull. I think that'll be Azimut's big boat there. I'm sure will be very popular.
I'm sure they'll sell a ton of them here. Azimut is always popular in the US and the Caribbean and North America.
Actually, another shipyard. Newmarine is the next boat we're going to talk about, but they've had phenomenal success in the US and South Florida, particularly selling a lot of boats to US clients. So they'll have their 37 XP there. Slightly longer stretched version of the XP series that you might have seen. Unusual window shapes, but with impressive results on the inside.
Yeah.
It's one of those designs that you love or hate. I quite like it personally, and as do many US yacht owners because they are selling like hotcakes.
Apparently so. I got used to it. I have to say the first time I saw it, I was a little bit taken aback by it, but the more I look at them, the more I like them. And obviously, I didn't know anything because they are selling, like you said, hotcakes. takes. So, yeah.
I think the longer those boats get, the better looking they get as well.
I think so. It's true of a lot of models that way. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then Gulfcraft, the Majesty 111, which has an interior by a Dutch design studio called Fathom. I did get on board in Cannes or Monaco or both, and it's very lovely. I especially love the owner's stateroom there. The glass bottom pool is actually the skylight over the master bed. So you lay in bed and you see the water floating above your head and keep wondering, is that holding? Is that holding?
You just hope no one's skinny dipping it.
But it is, no, it is really nice. Nice boat.
Gulfcraft have come a long way in the last decade. We've spoken about them in the past, but some of their designs are becoming more refined and a bit more elegant. And again, you know, they're finding a ready audience. So this is the Gulfcraft Majesty 111, which you can see for yourself next week. The Ferretti Yachts have their 1000 Sky Deck there. It's 30 meters long. It's got quite a sporty exterior with a lot of glazing. Very practical beach club, not bad for a boat of that length. And, massive flybridge for its size. I mean, the flybridges they're putting on boats this length now continue to amaze me. They just get bigger and bigger and bigger. A lot of carbon fiber, so a light boat and, performance to match.
So among the sportfish guys, the Viking 90, which actually was... debuted in Miami at the Miami Boat Show this year, is back for another look. Well, it might be a different haul by this stage. I don't know how many they've built, but Viking is also one of those builders that seems to just produce and sell and produce and sell. So the Viking 90 is a redo of the 92. There were some reasons why they had to change the design, and it's quite successful. The saloon on this boat is extraordinary, and there is like lights and views everywhere. Really quite a beautiful boat. If you're into sport fishing, that's definitely one that you would want to look at.
I'd have it even though I'm not massively into sport fishing. I just think they're cool looking boats, these Vikings. Yes. Yeah. And they're phenomenally well built, aren't they? They do a great job at that shipyard. To finish up, I just wanted to mention a couple of British boats from across the pond that will be making their US debuts at the show. The Sunseeker Ocean 182 is poised to offer something completely novel, the shipyard says. Named after its gross tonnage, the 182 features a newly designed enclosed flybridge and a wide body hull that allows for its length a very good beam of 7.2 metres. So loads of volume on this boat. Sunseeker will also have their 100 yachts in Fort Lauderdale. And the very elegant Princess Y95 will be making her way to the show for the very first time. This is the flagship of Princess's Y-class series, with exterior designed by Pininfarina and Olaszynski. She's 29 metres and has quite a different layout to the X-class that you might have seen previously, but uses the same hull. She's a classically elegant princess, and lovers of the brand, of which there are many, will be all over this one. So check her out as well.
Yeah, I think they're also bringing in the X series, the X80, which was, if I'm not mistaken, in West Palm Beach, or one was in West Palm Beach. And that one has a bit more radical styling that the X series has shown. I quite like the 80. I thought it was a really lovely boat. Great bridge and fly deck on this boat as well.
So we'll dig into some of the numbers behind the boat show a bit later in our data section, but some really interesting new product there for the South Florida audience. So the show kicks off, is it Wednesday? It's Wednesday, isn't it? Next Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Yeah. So like we said at the top, if you're there, you're listening and you're there, come along, say hello. Grab a coffee. There's another subject I wanted to discuss on the podcast because it's a pertinent one for the yachting industry, and it's only getting, you know, more relevant as it becomes more scarce, and that is, of course, old growth Burmese teak. So this feature will be going into the December issue of BIUS, and you might have seen it in the November issue of Boat. So why... do I want to talk about teak? Well, everyone in the super yacht industry knows there's a big problem with old growth Burmese teak. The super yacht industry is utterly addicted to it because it's densely grained, has great color, is very durable, has amazing water and rot resistant properties. And it's just kind of the default option for decks. So you see a lot of these boats coming out of shipyards with vast decks covered in planks of teak, and you slightly wonder how much is left because there's a big problem with it. So teak became a big issue back in the 1960s when Burma, where the great teak comes from, dissolved into a military dictatorship. There were some fairly tumultuous years that followed, as many of you will know. Then in the start of the 2020s, after a brief period of stability, things took another turn for the worse when a brutal ethnic cleansing program was instituted. So the military junta that is in control there installed a state-controlled timber monopoly, allowing traders to basically indiscriminately log as long as the government got a share of the profit because they were trying to raise revenues desperately. And at the current rate of logging, the Environmental Investigation Agency warns that the country will lose its native teak forests by 2035, which isn't that far away at all. Over the years, of course, the US and the EU have implemented various bans and regulations to prevent illegally harvest Burmese or Myanmar teak from entering their markets with mixed results, to be fair. There's lots of talk about rebadged teak or teak going, you know, Burmese teak being exported to neighboring countries, being rebadged and then kind of legitimized or laundered on the international teak markets. In June this year, the EU timber regulation, which sought to curb imports based on a somewhat voluntary due diligence, was replaced by a new, broader and stricter methodology. Now, any operator or trader who places these commodities on the EU market who exports from it must prove that the products do not originate from recently deforested land or have contributed to forest degradation. So at shipyards around the world, when I visit them, you see a lot of shipyards stocked up on Burmese teak some years ago, but those stocks are dwindling and there will come a point where they run out and there's just no old growth Burmese teak left on the market and prices are shooting up as a result. We cover this in great depth in the feature, so please, please look out for it. But I wanted to offer some hope to this situation because there are alternatives to teak and it's a real challenge for owners commissioning yachts or refitting yachts and designers who are working with them to, you know, offer solutions to this considerable problem, because obviously we don't want to be supporting a military dictatorship. We don't want illegally harvested teak on the decks of super yachts. There are some answers, as mentioned. Plantation teak has been mentioned as a solution, but a plantation trunk needs 30 to 50 years of growth before it can be harvested, and it generally doesn't have the same properties as old growth Burmese teak, some of which is, you know, 100 years old when it's harvested or more. And plantation teak isn't always suitable for decking because it's not as closely grained. And also, it also has some associated environmental issues because plantations can harm biodiversity in certain regions. Obviously, single species forest is not great for biodiversity, especially when, you know, native plants are cut down to stick in plantation teak. So lots of people are looking at synthetic teak and other natural hardwood alternatives to this problem. So Estec is a pretty familiar name in the super yacht industry. Boats, particularly smaller boats, feature Estec quite extensively. And it's slowly gaining a bigger foothold in the super yacht space. But what is Estec? It's a patented thermoset decking that uses biomaterials and does not contain PVC, which has obviously recycling issues, or wood, It comes in 8mm boards and does not absorb water and is resistant to most oils and grease. It weighs less than teak and can be recycled at the end of its life and can come in a range of colors. We've seen some interesting colored, like gray decks or darker decks or lighter decks that come in S deck. They can, you know, the range of colors they can install on boats is quite broad.
Yeah.
Tesumo is another potential answer to the problem. This was developed by Lursen, Waltz, Nautic, and the University of Groningen. It's made from a fast-growing African tree, which comes from managed forests. It's modified by using heat and resin infusion and has the same appearance, dimensional stability, elasticity, and rot resistance of teak. So Tesumo is really, really interesting solution that I think will only get more popular for superyacht designers and shipyards. Akoya is another touted solution. It's a sustainable softwood that is catalyzed when a strong type of vinegar is forced into the raw timber under pressure and temperature. It changes the wood at a molecular level, making it resistant to expansion, rot, and water. It also has a life expectancy of 50 years, which is promising. Green teak is something I had not heard of before I'd read the feature. So green teak is bits of the tree, the unfashionable bits of the tree, really, that's, you know, knotted bits or branches. Anyway, it's constituted and sliced into thin veneers, then stacked and laminated. These stacks are then put on their sides and sliced into boards. So it mimics the natural grain of old growth teak and is essentially the same wood. There's marine deck, aqua cork, and sea cork. So these are cork solutions using naturally waterproof cork wood. The wood, it's compressed into blocks and then cut into planks. So cork is easy to work with, doesn't get hot, and is very stable. Marine deck 2000 has, we understand, been installed on a Fed ship. And it's not, you know, I read cork and imagined, you know, the old cork you got at school, or, you know, wine stoppers, but it's a different type of tree. It's a different species of tree even. So it's very different from that kind of cork. There's some dense hardwoods called Iroko and Greenheart from Africa and South America respectively. So they have very natural rot resistance. The trees grow to a huge size and yield wide, long boards. But it's these are slightly trickier because Iroko is very difficult to work. It splinters and blunts tools, as does Greenheart, because it's so hard. Greenheart is often used in Caribbean construction because it stands up so well to a wet climate and is resistant to carpenter ants. It's a great choice for docks and ship hulls. In fact, Ernest Shackleton's ship Endurance was clad in Greenheart.
Yeah.
But for yacht decks, it's probably a bit less suitable. So they, you know, Iroko and Greenheart, natural hardwoods. We got cork, we got green teak, we got Akoya, Tesumo, and S-Deck as some of the solutions we present in this feature. But, you know, as I mentioned, it's really going to take some visionary owners and designers to take almost this, you know, it's quite a big step for the owner to take because their default is teak.
Yeah.
But we've really got to break this addiction. It's not going to be easy. But we have to break it.
Definitely not. I'd like to go back to my cruise ship for a minute. So that cruise ship is built to SOLAS, you know, the regulations for safety at sea. One of the aspects that SOLAS looks at is obviously fire hazards. So naturally, no natural wood is seen anywhere on that ship. And the designers have done a really great job of coming up with stuff that makes it look very nice and warm, like one of the new specialty restaurant is supposed to have this California vineyard vibe, and it's, you know, dark wood lookalike floors all over the place, the furniture, everything. Is it exactly the luxurious quality we're used to on super yachts? Well, if you're going to be looking very closely, maybe not, but definitely they have been able to create some very appealing interior, particularly design with alternatives. So maybe our super yacht designers should go to the super yacht cruise ship exhibit and go see what is available there.
You just made hundreds of super yacht designers faint by saying
I'm sure they would love it. It's really fun. Anyway, I will be quiet now.
No, but I mean, that's a good point. You know, we want to take inspiration from everywhere and find these solutions everywhere. Because if we think we can keep decking these big boats in old growth Burmese teak, we're joking. So there's got to be a solution. And it is incumbent on the designers, I think, to suggest alternatives to owners. And they've got to be brave enough to take that step.
Yeah.
Quoted in the piece was Marnix Hoekstra, the co-creative director of VIPAC. He said he was surprised how addicted people, including himself, are to the look of teak decks on a yacht and how difficult it is proving to step away from them. He said, I think decks are one of the largest surfaces on a yacht and are very undeveloped from a design perspective. At the same time, we do have to acknowledge that it is a working surface for the crew. So it is not only aesthetics, but durability and non-skid qualities that are very important. He added, alternatives with those qualities are scarce. At the same time, it's up to us designers to make the world see how it could be different. I think, which is the point we're trying to make in a very long-winded fashion. Anyway, I find the subject fascinating because I've been in this industry quite a long time, and I remember writing about the problem with teak,
you know, 15 years ago.
And you know, and it's amazing how we haven't seemed to have cracked the nut in a, you know, massive fashion on the big boats in that time. But at least now there do seem to be some legitimate alternatives. So, you know, we've scratched the surface here, but read the full feature. It's brilliantly written by Marilyn Moer. She's done an amazing job researching and investigating and speaking to all the right people. And hopefully it will change a few minds out there and make them appreciate that there are alternatives currently on the market that are pretty good.
I hope so. Yeah, definitely worthy subject. And I've actually been surprised that of late I see more teak used in different ways than ever, like on the transom areas. And yes, it's a beautiful detail, but as you said, we need to move on from there very soon.
Yeah. So let's talk brokerage. So you've chosen a boat that will be at the show next week.
Next week, yes. Yes, I have chosen Ice Bear. And that was an easy pick for me for many reasons, because it was one of the gallant ladies. And if you are a fan of yachting and follow yachting for some years, you may be familiar with Gallant Lady. There was a gentleman here in Fort Lauderdale or in the Broward County who was a huge fan of boats, of fet ships particularly. And he built a series of these boats. He started with sport fish boats. And this was the fourth Gallant Lady, which has been renamed since Ice Bear. And it's a very interesting boat because she's kind of at the cusp of the sport fish and the yacht. She's both. So you will see some feature there, that of a sport fish. Her bow looks very much like a traditional sport fish. And then she has this huge stage area on the aft for, you know, where you can put your fishing chairs and watch people or fish yourself. The interior is very interesting. It's a different layout. The gentleman who had commissioned the yacht was a huge entertainer. He had invited lots of people to keep his business going. And so big galley, big dining areas. But it also has 5 staterooms, including a owner's stateroom on the main deck, which is quite large with an office. The original design was Paola Smith, which is a very talented designer at the time. And if people wanted to make changes on the inside, and I'm sure there is room for making it a little bit more contemporary than it is now, she's got great bones. Really, really great looking boat. And I was very interested to see pictures of Gallant Lady as she was launched in 1988 and Ice Bear now. Somebody in between did a major refit on the exterior, and she went from looking kind of a modern with like long black strips of windows to a much more classic look with, I'm afraid, teak cap rails. But anyway, go look at her. She will be on display. She's listed with Burgess, and she's asking $11.5 million.
Which seems like pretty good for a 52-meter Fed ship of this vintage.
Yeah. and really unique looking.
Yeah, she's got a very proud kind of observation.
Right.
Topping her superstructure. And yeah, I imagine the view from up there is pretty cool. Yeah, let's go seek her out at the show, because I've never been aboard, so it'd be fun to walk around her together.
Definitely.
I have chosen an explorer in a, in a shameless attempt to plug, once again, our Explorer Summit.
Well done, Stuart.
Which is happening on the 9th of November in Monaco. Tickets still on sale. They are actually selling out quite quickly, so if you do want to come along, for brilliant days, series of presentations and talks and inspiration around exploring in your yacht, how to do it. Lots of practical advice from owners and figures from the world of expedition yachting. Come along. It's going to be a brilliant, brilliant day. And we have a few drinks afterwards, which is always fun. So for that reason, I have chosen 37-meter Dardanella, which was built by Vitters, unusually, because she's obviously a motor yacht and Vitters build sailing yachts traditionally. She's been listed for sale by Wyco, asking 9 million euros. And the owners are actually coming to the Explore Yacht Summit to speak. And so there will be the last session of the day, and they've done some really amazing things with scientific exploration in the South Pacific. They've been very kind in donating their yacht for that cause. They've spent, you know, years, you know, exploring islands in the South Seas, and they have some amazing stories. So I'm sure it'll be a really fascinating end to the day. So back to Dardanella, as mentioned, Vitters built in 1996. She designed by Vrijpak. She accommodates 12 guests in 5 cabins and has a crew capacity of 8. Typically, for an explorer of this pedigree, she comes with a Nitrox dive compressor. She can carry 12 sets of dive gear, underwater photography equipment, and an open-air cinema. Tenders are stowed on the foredeck. And the broker added that a shallow draft and compact size, in addition to her cozy and comfortable interior spaces, make her the ideal option for anyone who aspires to intrepid exploration. And she's been so well proven. You know, if you're looking for a boat that has absolutely been there and done it, then Dardanella is it. And you might know her for her very cool paint job, because she's got these kind of fractal shapes painted across her superstructure and hull. Very unique looking boat. So if you want to hear more about her, meet her owners, hear from her owners, and hear crucially what's coming next for them, do not miss the Explorer Yacht Summit on the 9th of November in Monaco. And with that, Cécile, on with les actualités.
Wow, well done.
How's my accent?
Oh, perfect. Just perfect. Beautiful. Yes. Or as we say, the news.
The news. Yeah.
So we heard that this week from French boat builder GFA Yachts that they have sold a new catamaran, which would be the Long Island 87. The 26.5-meter catamaran has been sold to a client from the United States by Denison Yachting, with David Johnson representing the buyer. Her delivery is scheduled for summer 2025. The Long Island 87 is based on 2 previous models in the Long Island 85 series, which have already successfully completed circumnavigations and visits to Antarctica. This model will differentiate itself with a more contemporary superstructure, a larger flybridge, and the latest technology to ensure safe passage around the world. Quoting the yard here.
Actually, when I said les actualités, I completely forgot that the first story was French. That was an unintentional, quite good link there.
I thought it was just your very smart way of engaging the audience into our venture into the French shipyard industry.
Total accident. Anyway, next, over in Italy, Columbus Yachts, a brand of Palumbo superyachts, has sold the first unit in its 37-meter Atlantique series. It will be built at Palumbo's shipyard in Savona, with delivery scheduled for 2025. With a silhouette that recalls the sailing yachts of other times, the Atlantique 37's clean, sporty exterior is owed to Milanese studio Hot Lab. Naval engineering was completed in-house. With a semi-planing hull and two 2,000 horsepower man engines, the Atlantique 37 is capable of reaching a maximum speed of 22 knots and a cruising speed of 19. According to Boat Pro, Columbus Yachts has three units currently under construction, including the first unit in its compact Explorer series, the Crossover 42.
The 75.7-meter Fedship Superyacht Project 822 has been spotted in transit from the dry dock at Fedship's Vinland facility on Kag Island. The yacht, which is understood to be called Alvia, will now be moved to open sea to begin sea trials. The yacht was launched in late August, marking the first time the secretive superyacht had been spotted since its arrival at the shipyard's Vinland facility in September 2021. Designer RWD is responsible for exterior and interior design, and the interior were completed in collaboration with Susan Young, and naval architecture is by DeVoogt. Pictures show a nice white hull and superstructure, classic flare bow, and gently curving lines. According to Boat Pro, including Project 822, there are a total of four Fedships set to be delivered yet in 2023.
Lovely looking boat, 822.
Yeah, love those pictures of the yachts through the Dutch countryside. Never fails to move.
They really know what they're doing with those photos, don't they? Because they're so compelling editorially. You just have to feature them, don't you?
Right.
Often they have like cows in the foreground and classic, you know, chocolate box Dutch houses in the background, windmills, you know. It's so stereotypical, but so good.
It's as if they knew what they do with the marketing. You know, for a yard that is so secretive due to their clients, they managed to get permission to do some pretty amazing stuff that you say, we can't resist to pick up because it's so cool looking.
No, we got to do it. Got to do it. Love those photos. So let's move on with our data section, which as ever is brought to you by our market intelligence service, Boat Pro, our award-winning market intelligence service, Boat Pro. Always forget to say that. This week, we're looking at flibs. So we'll whip you through some numbers really quickly. So we are hoping to see 150 super yachts at the show this year. But as of right this second, we're recording on Tuesday afternoon. We can only confirm 122, but we're hoping in the next few days we'll hear about a few more coming along. Of those 122 confirmed super yachts, the average length overall is 35.9 meters and the average gross tonnage is 287. Very sadly, we cannot confirm that a single sailing superyacht will be in attendance. The largest yacht at the show that we know about at the moment will be 65-meter Kodakasa Eternity, which will be there showing off her charter skills. There will be 15 US debuts, but it looks like there will be a heavy brokerage focus at the show, much like last year.
Well, it's kind of back to the future with the flips and the brokerage market. It was a brokerage show from the very beginning. It was a bunch of brokers that got together on a very steamy, hot summer day that started the first brokerage show in Fort Lauderdale, and that evolved into the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show that we know. And we have a large park of brokerage yachts here in the US and an aging fleet, but a lot of the boats are being well maintained. The refit industry is very strong. It's not that they're changed drastically, but they're well maintained, regularly upgraded, and so on. So yes, it's to be expected that actually brokerage is a big part of the show and will probably always will be.
Well, that's the market. I mean, America is half the brokerage market, isn't it? That's where all the buyers are from. So it makes sense if you are selling a boat to have it at the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show and Palm Beach and Miami. And that's it. Just as a reminder, yeah, please come along and see us. We'll be there. If you've got some comments about the podcast, you want to hear a special interview, or have a great idea for us, swing by, let us know for a coffee and a catch up. We have some wonderful air conditioning. Cecile, I'll be seeing you in Miami on Monday.
Right. Have a safe trip.
Thank you very much. I can't wait. And thank you everyone for listening. This episode of Boat Briefing was mixed and produced as ever by the wonderful social media team of Adam Geest and Naomi Wilson. Don't forget to like and subscribe. See you at the show if you're there. If not, I'll catch you in a couple of weeks. Take care.